started reading Habakkuk. How long? I asked myself, how long can this go on? And how long can I endure this problem? How long can I maintain a right attitude? Because it's hard. It's hard. And I cried out many a night. Physical crying out and spiritually crying out for help. So if we'd turn over to Habakkuk, we're going to go through that thing in rapid speed. Because I don't want to have two parts to this thing. So here we go. Habakkuk 1:1. See if you can draw an analogy to what we go through here and the times that we're living in today. Habakkuk 1. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw is this. O Eternal, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. That's exactly what I did. And that's exactly the question I had. How long? I cry out, are you not hearing me? Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Well, I believe we can see in today those things going on. Therefore, the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds or continues. Here we see violence in our world today, in every corner of our nation. Wickedness and perverse rules in all of our cities. Fighting and bloodshed is the order of the day. In some cities, there's so much gang fighting against each other that the authorities refuse to even go into those areas, and for great reason. And as we saw during the COVID outbreak, how easy it was to shut down and control an entire nation and world, for that matter. Everything was almost at a standstill, and all this happened very, very quickly. Even churches were shut down. Righteousness became wrong. Perversion became right. Being raised up and accepted as right and wonderful. Is that not what we see in our world today? Look, verse 5. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded. And here he replies, the Eternal replies, he says, for I will work in your days which you would not believe, though it even were told you. How many of us, even 15 years ago, would ever have believed the things that we're seeing today that are going on right before our very eyes today? To me, it's just like a bad dream, but it's real. Our leaders are only worried about if we're using the correct pronoun. How twisted, I ask you, is that? When a child is sent home for not using the correct pronoun. Young girls being raped in the bathrooms in the schools by boys that identify that day as a female. How crazy have we become, I ask you, as a people? In some states, pedophiles, they can't be charged if a child so-called gives consent, no matter the age that they happen to be. Makes you wonder just how much sicker, brethren, that we can become as a nation. A situation coming on Judah that was hard to believe. Turn with me, if you would, back to Lamentations. Lamentations. Lamentations 3. Verse And verse 39, why should a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sin? Let us search. Let us search out and examine our ways and then turn back to the eternal. That's what we need to do as a nation, brethren. And in some cases, that's what we need to do as a church. We need to turn back to the very God and His laws that created us. Verse 6, back over in Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 6. For indeed, I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and a hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth. You go back and you read Isaiah 5 when you get a chance. To possess dwelling places that are not theirs. Chaldeans is number 3778 in the Strong's. It's a fierce Babylonian army. I think we're probably seeing that today right here in our nation. A fierce Babylonian army coming in among us and rising up above us. Right now, not only here, but around the globe, they're building up. There are presently wars and rumors of wars all over the place, not to mention just here in the United States. Deuteronomy 28:49 through 50 says, it is a fierce nation from afar. I believe that's what we're getting, aren't we, Phil? This right now. We're getting a fierce nation coming into our country, willingly accepted from afar. You might copy down 2 Corinthians 21:31, and I'd like to read you 2 Kings. Okay, 24 and verse 2. And the Eternal sin against him, raiding bands of Chaldeans, bands of Assyrians and also Moabites, and bands of people of Ammon. He sent them against Judah to destroy. And according to the word of the Eternal, which he had spoken by his servant, the prophets. Verse 7 now, Habakkuk. We're going to jump around here quite a bit, so stay with me. Verse 7. They are terrible and dreadful. I seen on Prophecy News Watch this morning that over in Palestine, they are where all of our other children around the world basically are having a summer vacation from school. Well, all their little boys are training militarily their children to kill Jews. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceeds from themselves. They make up their own laws, their own justice today in this world. Scriptures of interest here would be Jeremiah 4. You can copy down. Micah 4:10, and then I'm going to read a couple to you in Ezekiel. Okay, first one is Ezekiel 12. And verse 24, for no more shall there be any false vision of flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Eternal, I speak, and the word which I speak will come to pass. It will no more be postponed. For in your days, anytime it mentions your days or anything about days to come, it's in time. O rebellious house, I will say the word, and I will perform it, says the Eternal. Again, the word of the Eternal came to me and said, Son of man, look, the house of Israel is saying the vision that he sees is for many days from now, and he prophesies times far off. Therefore say to them, thus says the Eternal, None of my words will be postponed anymore, but the word which I speak will be done, says the Eternal. So it's a surety, and it is happening right now, today, about us everywhere. There, and in Ezekiel 21:31, we'll read that one now. Ezekiel 21. I will pour out my indignation on you. I will blow against you with the fire of my wrath and deliver you into the hands of brutal men who are skillful to destroy. If that doesn't explain the Chaldeans, I don't know what it is. You shall be fuel for the fire. Your blood shall be in the midst of the land. You shall not be remembered, for I, the Lord, have spoken. There are war machines, it says in Ezekiel 21:31. Will be fast. It will be, their fighter planes are fast. Faster and swifter all the time they get. Now then we have drones that can fly under radar and attack undetected. It's a war like has never been before. Go back over to Habakkuk, verse 10. They scoff at kings. Our leaders today are laughed at around the world. Our president, vice president, our congressmen, senators, they're laughed at. There's no respect for America anymore. Verse 11. Then his mind changes and he transgresses. He commits offense, ascribing this power to his God. There's all kinds of statues and pagan idols and pagan statues in the United States, in New York, in front of the UN, openly worshipped in our own nation. It's just an abomination of Yahweh's true people. Verse 11, we read that there. Let's go to 12. Are you not from everlasting, O eternal my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Eternal, you have appointed them for judgment. These Chaldeans is who he's talking about. O Rock, you have marked them for correction. These nations that we're talking about here are bringing on judgment to our nation because of our sins that reach up to heaven, as we found in verse 6. Our Father is letting this happen to correct us as a nation. Are we listening? Are we hiding our heads in the sand? Which is it? Are we paying attention? Verse 13. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil. He's saying this to the Father. And cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours? A person more righteous than he? Why do you make men like fish of the sea, like creeping things that have no rule over them? They take up all of them with a hook. They catch them in their net, gather them in their dragnet, and therefore they rejoice and are glad for that. Therefore, because they sacrificed their net and burn incense in their dragnet, because by them their snare is sumptuous or fat, and their food is plentiful. Shall they therefore empty their net and continue to slay the nation without pity? They care not. They're a very wicked and a vile people coming in here. And we're welcoming them. We're opening our borders and saying, come on in. Chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Then the Eternal answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Appointed times are spoke of very often in the Bible. But at the end of it, I will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Psalms 102:13. That's a reference to that. Here, the Father is answering the prophet's questions. He says, things will come to pass, just as the Eternal has said. Verse 4, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Indeed, because he transgresses by wine, he is a proud man, and he does not stay at home, because he enlarges his desires as hell, and he is like death and cannot be satisfied. He gathers to himself all the nations and heaps up for himself all people. That's the way people are, it seemed like, even back in the Western days. As landowners, they come into the West and had a lot of money. Some of them, and some of them that didn't have money, they took the land anyway. That's how come you had a lot of big, huge, giant, thousands and thousands of acres of ranches, even today. They got it that way. Never satisfied. Will not these take up a proverb against him and the taunting riddle against him and say, woe to him who increases what is not his? These countries want America. Everybody wants America. You know, it's got everything. It's blessed by our Creator. It has everything that we need more than any country in the world. How long, Habakkuk says, and to him who loads himself with many pledges, will not your creditors rise up suddenly? You wait and see. People start defaulting on their payments on their credit cards, and you're going to find out how suddenly these creditors rise up. Will they not awaken who oppresses you? And you will become their booty. Because you have plundered many nations, all the remnant of the people shall plunder you. Because of men's blood and the violence of the land and the city and of all who dwell in it, woe to him who converts evil gain for his house, that he may set his net on high, that he may be delivered from the power of disaster, the hand of evil, in other words. You give shameful counsel to your house, cutting off many people and sin against your soul, for the stone will cry out from the wall and the beam from the timber will answer it. Woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed, who establishes a city by iniquity. Behold, it is not of the Eternal of hosts that the peoples labor to feed the fire. The nations weary themselves in vain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Eternal, as the waters cover the sea. That's the future. He will make it happen. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drunk, that you may look on his nakedness. You are filled with shame instead of glory. You also drink and be exposed as uncircumcised. The cup of the Eternal's right hand will be turned against you. Our Father hates that stuff. And utterly shame will be on your glory because of these sins, I might add. For the violence done to Lebanon will cover you, and the plunder of the beast which made them afraid because of men's blood, and the violence of the land and the city, all of who dwell in it. What profit is the image, the false idols that they're erecting at our Washington, D.C. area, the UN, New York? What profit is the image that its maker could carve it, the molten image, a teacher of lies, that the maker of its mold should trust in it to make mute idols, something that can't talk, can't move, can't say anything, can't do anything, but they worship it. They're bowing down to it right now in this nation. Americans, I might add. Woe to him who says to the wood, a piece of wood, an idol, awake! To silent stone, arise, teach! Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, yet in there is no breath at all. It's of naught. That's where we're heading. Just like at the base of Mount Sinai, when the commandments were given, and Moses came down, what did he find? 40 days, what did he find? But the Eternal is in his holy temple. He's alive, and he's well, and he's very, very aware. He wondered how our Eternal Father, Habakkuk, did, could use such a cruel, unholy nation to punish Israel. But our Father assured Habakkuk that the answer would come soon. But in the meantime, the righteous should live by faith, he said. This seemed to have satisfied Habakkuk because he didn't ask any more questions. Sometimes man's response is to just keep silent and not question. I have a problem with that. It's a problem I have to overcome because sometimes it's just hard for me to keep silent. You know, when you're in a situation like I'm in, Vicky's in, you fail in so many ways. And I appreciate James. It helped me out a lot. You know, it kind of explained my inadequacies. Of course, we've talked a lot over the phone, and I value him as a brother in a big way. You know, when you're experiencing a severe trial, a trial that goes on and on and on, like with a baggage. And you sit there and you say, I see no answer to this. No response. It's just a very perplexing situation to be in. And it can, if you let it. It can wear you down, brethren, when you don't see any answer. But the answer is there. He said, I will see you through this. His Spirit is the answer. Do we in our trials say, I don't understand, God. I just don't understand. What are you doing? But I know you're right in all things. So please speak to me and correct me. I've told him that many times in the past 2 months. There's a song out, Don't Take the Girl. I don't know if you've ever heard that. If you haven't, go online and listen to it. Don't Take the Girl. It's about a young man that his dad is going to take his son fishing. And he asked the little neighbor girl to go. And he says, oh, no, don't take the girl. Don't take the girl. He gets a little older. And as he progresses through time, he falls in love with this girl. The girl gets sick. She gets pregnant. And he's telling, don't take the girl all this time. And at the very end, he said, I'll give you anything. He's talking to God. I'll give you my life. I'll give you whatever you want. Just don't take the girl. The one that he didn't want to be taken at the very beginning. And she dies. It's very sad. But I tell you what, it's very eye-opening. If you get a chance, listen to that. In verse 14, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Eternal, as the waters cover the sea. Okay. I think I've lost my place here. Let me check real quick. Yeah, we're over in 3. 3:14. Okay, let's start in 3:1. I've heard your speech and I was afraid. O Eternal, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, in the midst of the years, he says 3 times. Make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays of flashing from His hand. And there His power was hidden. Before Him went pestilence and fever, followed at His feet. What's happening now, brethren? He took and measured the earth. He took and startled the nation. And the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills bowed. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian trembled. O Eternal, were you displeased with the rivers? Was your anger against the river? Was your wrath against the sea? That you rode on your horses, your chariots of salvation, your bow that made quiet ready. Oaths were sworn over your arrows. You divide the earth with rivers. The mountain view you and you trembled, saw you. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered its voice and lifted its hands on high. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of your arrow they went, at the shining of your glittering spear. Those are referring to the day of the Father in Joel. You marched through the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger. You went forth for the salvation of your people. That's for the called out ones. That's why He saved it. For salvation with your anointed. You struck the head from the house of the wicked. You cut the head off of anything, whether it be a situation, a man, an animal. It's done. You struck the head from the wicked. Yeah, our Father, He will smack this world He will not let it go on much longer. By laying bare the foundations to the neck, Selah, think on these things. You thrust through with his own arrow the head of the village. They came out like a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was like feasting on the poor in secret. You walked through the sea with your horse, through the heap of great water. When I heard my body tremble, my lips quiver at the voice. Now, I've experienced that through this trial. Rottenness entered my bone, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. Habakkuk wanted comfort. Well, I got comfort this morning because due to all you guys' prayers and prayers from, James said, from people I don't even know. And believe it or not, I put it on Facebook and I got a lot of friends on there. They're not in the church that I graduated with, and it was filled with prayers. Filled with prayers. And they keep asking, how's she doing? How's she doing? They don't even know her because I didn't date anybody in school. I believe that I needed to date in the church. And they all didn't even know why I wasn't dating. So they never did meet Vicky except at our 50-year reunion. But yet they had sympathy and had care, a caring attitude, and expressed it. And I trembled in myself that I might rest in that day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. He's going to take action. He takes it serious. He takes it serious of his people being attacked, his people suffering. But they've had over 6,000 years, haven't they? All of us have. 6,000 years to change hasn't happened. Though the fig tree may not blossom, verse 17, nor fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, and that's happening right now. In our breadbasket, the Chinese have bought most of our farmland up in the Midwest. And even though they've planted, the winds have came up there recently and flattened all of the corn products. Flattened them. Well, if you know anything about farming, when wheat or corn gets flattened, there's no picking it up. It's done deal. So we're down the road here, believe me, we're going to experience great shortages. So the deal on prepping that Jason announced is a good thing. We need to take it in as Joseph. He prepared for 7 years. Are you preparing? Or are you going to wait till the shelves are empty like in a hurricane? And there's nothing there for you to prepare with. You know, just because you got a shovel and you're leaning on it doesn't mean God's going to dig the hole for you. We have to do our part, brethren. It's serious time we're in. It's time that we get our head out of the sand and begin preparing for what's coming. Though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold. That's the fold is the safe place, if you're in terminology of raising sheep. And there be no herd in the stall. There's a lot of suffering that's coming for Israel, and we're going to have to bear up under some of that. I do think that his chosen ones, called out ones, will escape some of that. Possibly the really, really tough stuff. You know, just pray that you don't have to endure the day of the Lord. That's the tough one, the last part. Pray that you're accounted worthy to escape. That's a big one, because none of us really are worthy. But it is the will of our Father that we don't have to suffer. But he does have conditions. But he gives you a choice along with that condition. We all have a choice. You can bear up under it, or you can go the other way. And like some of my relatives said, I've heard that for 50 years. And they no longer are in church. They no longer keep the commandments. They no longer keep the holy days, because once they left and quit coming and quit attending a regular Sabbath service, it slowly slips away. I've watched it many times, even in my own family. So we must continue to try to assemble together as long as we can. It's coming a time when we can't. We're not going to be able to. I'm thankful that we have Gary and Susie. I could almost walk to their house if I had to. So prepare is my word. He says, yet I will rejoice, in verse 18, in the eternal. After all that, after this whole thing that we've been reading here, he says, I will rejoice in the eternal. I will joy in the God of my salvation. What an attitude. You know, yesterday, day before yesterday, Wednesday, Tuesday, I couldn't have said that. I just couldn't have. I didn't joy in that trial. That's tough. And to pray to the Father and tell him I joyed in that, it would be lying. I just had to be silent. John 16:33, our Savior said, it's through control, and they tested it through COVID, so they have an idea. We can control these people, but we do have a Savior, and we do have a Father. As a people, all we have to do is get on our knees and deeply repent of anything that we have done that disgusts the Father and the Son. We have a choice. Finally, in Jeremiah 36, now it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that the word came to Jeremiah from the Eternal, saying, take a scroll of a book and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel, against Judah. That's what we've just been reading. And against all the nations, from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah, even to this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear, and all the adversities which I propose to bring upon them, that everyone may turn from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. I'll fall back to the message that Jason gave a few months back. And he said, you know, we read these things, and I see Knoxville down here. I just can't imagine, he said, like happened in Jonah. that they all repented? He said, I just don't see it. Well, I don't see it either, Jason. I just don't see it happening. But if it would, he would stop it. He says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Our Savior went through the valley of fear. I'm someday going to finish that series of Psalms 23. It's very interesting. I just keep getting these thoughts of things I got to give. But it's really interesting. He went through the valley of fear, David. And our Savior went through the valley of fear. But you know what? When you go through something, you know the way. And He will direct you. It is His will to do that. But it is His will that we ask. He wants us to ask. He's not going to dig the hole for you. If mankind would just obey and repent, they would not have to go, and we would not have to go through all this pain. But we've had 6,000 years as a nation, not changed yet. What can we learn from Habakkuk? Many of us may resonate with Habakkuk's distraught cries and answers. I do. I'm sure you do too. When it seems that the wicked prosper while the righteous are oppressed, when it seems that we are surrounded by destruction, violence, and justice never prevails, Habakkuk 1:4, we may cry out to God wondering why He does not answer. I've been crying that out. But I got an answer last night, or this morning. She had a good night. And I have thanked Him and thanked Him for sustaining her, because nobody experiences that problem for 6 weeks. Continuous, not once a day. Continuous. And survives. You just don't do it. So He's answered your prayers. You can thank Him for that when you get a chance, for answering those prayers for Vicki. Because she has been sustained. It's been with great difficulty. She still has pain, so keep the prayers up. That the pain will go away, I think it will. Though we may not hear a prophecy from the Father in the same way that Habakkuk did, we can take comfort from that, from this book we just read. Here we read that God has a plan even when we can't see it. His plan is far beyond what we may imagine. He says, watch. Just watch. And be utterly amazed, says in Habakkuk 1:5, the Eternal will not suffer injustice forever. Turn with me over to Zechariah, last scripture, chapter 6, verse 11. Let's see here. Yeah. Take the silver and gold and make an elaborate crown and set it on the head of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And speak to him and say, thus says the Eternal Host, saying, behold the man whose name is the branch. From his place he shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of the Eternal. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Eternal. He shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule on his throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne. And the counsel of peace shall be between them both. He's talking about the two witnesses. Now the elaborate crown shall be for a memorial in the temple. The eternal for Helam, Tobijah, Jedidiah, and Hen, and the son Zephaniah. Even those from afar come and they build the temple of the eternal. Then you shall know that the eternal of hosts has sent me to you. And this shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the eternal, your God. Yes, brethren, we got hope. Let's be like Habakkuk. Let's sit. Let's be silent. And let's wait for the salvation of our Savior. We often cannot understand what our God's doing in our lives or in the lives of others or exactly why. I'm sure you've contemplated that in this situation of Vicki and I. I have. Yet our Savior and our Father are working in deep areas of our life beyond human eyesight and in deep patterns of providential circumstances. When we can't answer why, we can certainly answer who. We can place full trust in a sovereign God who is always in control. Faith is the conquering grace. This is what gives victory.